Hi, I'm Yulia. Welcome to the Soothing Voices podcast. Today's episode is called How to Make Anyone Fall in Love with You. And it's based off a book by Lowell Lodness. I think that's how you say her name. She's an internationally recognized communications expert. And so in this book, she goes through scientific research and develops techniques on teaching people how to make anyone fall in love with them. When I first read this book, this was back in college a couple years ago, and it was really, really helpful, not just in terms of dating, but also it really helped me with work and business and just basic human relationships. And it was really interesting and I love it. And so that's why I want to share this with you today. So today's episode, I'm just going to go through eye contact and body language. So these are the two main parts that I'm going to go through on this episode. And then if this episode gets good listens, then I'll make some more. So the first part, the first technique that she goes through is called how to make a dynamite first impression. So she talks about first impressions being forever and how people usually, when they meet a new person, that first impression is seared in their mind. So it's important to always take into consideration what the first impression is that you give people. And what she talks about is, you know, being ready, dressed to kill everywhere. Because sometimes when we dress up, we only dress up to go out or something, but we don't actually dress up to go to the, I mean, obviously dress up to go to the grocery store, but just be ready all the time. So this is what she says. This does not mean you have to don a three-piece suit or buy a newspaper, and you don't have to wear three coats of mascara to walk the dog. What it means is wherever you step out the door, step out dressed to kill. Quote unquote, she says, your quarry. So she calls it your quarry because, you know, you're trying to find these people that you want to help, you know, make them fall in love with you. So there is a part in the book also that she talks about igniting love at first sight. And with love at first sight, we all know the stories. Oh, I saw this person and it was love at first sight, right? The fairy tales. But there's actual evidence of how eye contact, scientific evidence of how eye contact can be a very important piece of falling in love. So I'm going to read a little passage from the book. Powerful eye contact immediately stimulates strong feelings of affection. This was proved once for all in a study called The Effects of Mutual Eye Gazing on Feelings of Romantic Love. 14 researchers put 48 men and women who didn't know each other in a big room. They gave them directions on how much eye contact to have with their partner during a casual conversation. Afterwards, the researchers asked each participant how he or she felt about the various people they had spoken with. Subjects who were gazing at their partner's eyes and whose partner was gazing back reported significantly higher feelings of affection than subjects with any other condition. Subjects who engaged in mutual gaze increased significantly their feelings of passionate love and liking for their partner. Journal of Research and Personality. So this means that researchers did a study where they had 48 people sit in front of each other and had them look into each other's eyes. And the people who looked the longest reported higher levels of love, of the mutual feeling of love. A British scientist determined that on average, when talking, people look at one another only 30 to 60% of the time. This is not enough to rev up the engines of love at first sight. Most people, when they talk to other people, they're not really looking at each other's eyes. It's about 30 to 60% of the time. So in order to get these chemicals flowing through people's brains, you have to look at them a little bit longer. So I'm going to read a little bit of a study called Measurement of Romantic Love. Zick Rubin found that people who were deeply in love gaze at each other much more than when talking and are slower to look away when somebody intrudes in their world. He confirmed that through a trick experiment. He asked dating couples a long series of questions so he could first rate the pairs on how much they loved each other. The couples, unaware of their rating, were then put in a waiting room and told, "The experiment will be with you. The experimenter will be with you shortly to start the experiment." Unbeknownst to them, that was the experiment. Hidden cameras recorded how much time the couple spent staring into each other's eyes. The higher the couple had scored on the first test, the more time they spent looking at each other. The less love they felt for each other, the less time they made eye contact. So if you push eye contact to 75% or more, you are more likely to help the person and yourself have those mutual feelings of love with each other. So technique number three is called intense eye gaze. So when conversing with your quarry, exaggerate your eye contact. Search for his or her optic nerve. Lock eyes with your quarry to give the aura of already being in love. So when on a date, please be careful with this stuff because you don't want to creep people out. So make sure to read the person's body language, but when you have read the body language and you see, oh, this person's interested, try to keep eye contact to 70% or more to help really connect with that person and help them feel those, you know, love at first sight feelings because of your eye contact. So the next set of eye techniques is called bedroom eyes. Sex without eye contact is difficult for some primates. Several Finnish researchers introduced male and female baboons to each other. With a blinder device, they varied what part of the female's anatomy the male baboon got a Gardner at first. When the male's initial glimpse of his lady love was her genitals, only 5 ejaculations occurred. However, when he first gazed into her eyes before he got a peek at her privates, 21 ejaculations occurred. So this is a lot. Baboons are also primates like us. And if they had higher levels of ejaculation due to eye contact first, then that says a lot about how important eye contact is. It's more important than the genitals. That says a lot. Anthropologist Helen Fisher goes so far as to say, perhaps it is the eye, not the heart, the genitals, or the brain that is the initial organ of romance. So really practicing your eyes, your eye contact, your eye gazes is really important because if research shows that eyes are more important than genitals, that says a lot. So the father of science, which became known as the pupillometric, Dr. Eckhard Hess, demonstrated that large pupils were more alluring by showing 2 pictures of a woman's face to a group of men. The pictures were identical, except one of them. Hess had retouched the woman's pupils to make them larger. The male response to Miss Big Pupils was twice as strong as the identical woman, the small pupils. So what this means is that these researchers showed men pictures of the same woman, but the only difference is they enlarged her pupils in the picture. And once they enlarged her pupils, they had that picture had higher responses from the men. And it was all because of her pupil size. So that says so much about the importance of your pupils, the importance of your eyes. So there's actually a technique to help make your pupils bigger. And she calls it bedroom eyes. While chatting with a quarry, gaze at the most attractive part of his or her face. Your pupils will automatically expand, giving you those bedroom eyes. Also think loving thoughts, concentrate on how beautiful your quarry is and how comfortable you are with this person, how much fun it would be to take a shower with them. Okay, That's funny. So whenever I try this bedroomize, I always make sure to look at a part of the person's face that I really enjoy looking at. It could be the lips. It could be the eyes. So don't look at like an undesirable part of their face, because then your pupils are all like shrink. You want your pupils to dilate, and you want them to get bigger so that your eyes can look prettier. And that help in turn makes the other person's eyes get bigger too. It's a really great technique to teach you about the pupils and how our eyes, how we can affect another person just with our eyes, which is interesting because I know if when you're a kid and you got in trouble or you're about to get in trouble, you look at your mom's eyes or your dad's eyes and you're like, oh, I'm in trouble. So you can communicate a lot with the eyes. And remember that as babies and as children, we don't initially are born with talking. And so our bodies communicate, our eyes communicate first. And so that is a really great way to remember to go back to our primal experiences so that we can really tap into that, our eyes and our body language, so we can ultimately, you know, improve our chances of having people fall in love with us. So another technique is called how to awaken primal unsettling sexy feelings in your quarry. So when conversing, people tend to look briefly away at the end of the sentence or during silences, except when they're engrossed in the listener or hopefully in love. We now turn this into a technique to awaken those primal, unsettling, sexy feelings, giving your new quarry a jolt. So this technique is called sticky eyes. Whenever you're talking with your quarry, let your eyes stay glued to his or her or a little longer, even during silences. A gaze that stays over time awakens primal, slightly disturbing feelings. Okay. It induces the same fight or flight chemical that races through our veins when we feel infatuation. When you must look away, do so reluctantly. Drag your eyes away slowly as though they have been stuck with warm taffy. So this technique, so whenever you're practicing these techniques, I'd advise you to practice in the mirror and just look at yourself. So practice these techniques in front of the mirror, the bedroom eyes, the intense gaze. Try to, like, you know, I don't know if you guys ever seen like Melania Trump pictures when she like makes her like smizing eyes. So just don't make your eyes, don't think of her. But what I'm saying is I bet she practices in the mirror. So you could do the same thing. Practice in the mirror. And with sticky eyes, you have to practice that a little more in the mirror so you can actually see how you're like pulling your eyes away from the person so that you can really get that really nice, intense feeling of infatuation. Another tip is ask a friend, like have a friend practice with you. Go to a bar or a place out or even in your own apartment or your home and sit in front of them and just practice these techniques with them and then ask, like, how does this feel? You know, test out how this feels for yourself and see if you like these techniques. But practicing the mirror is really, really a fun way to start. So another technique is called naughty eyes are so nice. Now, before I go into the technique of, it's called a visual voyage, I'm going to go through the face triangles. I learned this from a body language expert. His name is Alan Peace. He has a couple body language books, and he also has really great videos on YouTube. So go through his videos. They're really, really great. So he talks about the triangles. So there are a few triangles on our faces that induce certain feelings in people whenever we look at them and when they look at us. So the first triangle is the professional triangle, and that is the triangle that goes in between. So it's our eyes to our, the like our third eye area, so the in between our eyebrows. That is the professional eye section of our eyes. And there's this other book that I was reading recently It's called, let me see, let me find the title. It's a really good book. Be Exceptional by Joe Navarro. He's a former FBI agent who specializes in body language as well. And he was talking about a person that he was having a bad time at the post office. And he talked about how this person was angry. And he said, usually I don't look into, so because he's an FBI agent, I mean, he's had to arrest people and arrest, I mean, he said he's arrested psychopaths and things like that and people like that. So he was like, yeah, this man who's upset, being mean to all the customers, like, I'm not afraid of him. So what he said was very interesting. He said that he looked into, not, he didn't look into that man's eyes. He looked in between his eyebrows. Because he wanted to show this man that he wasn't afraid. So he said, I don't look into his eyes. He wanted me to look him in the eyes, but that would be a reward. I don't reward bullies or psychopaths. I look through them. So that's also another. So in the professional space, in order to make someone feel a certain thing, like if you want them, if you want to feel superior to them and show them that, you know, especially when you're dealing with a bully, look in between their eyebrows, not into their eyes. So that's another technique. But to be professional, and when you're in a professional space, when you're dealing with bosses or you're dealing with your coworkers, when you're looking at the eyes in that area, it's very important. That's the first triangle. And then you have another triangle. So it's between the eyes, and then the triangle peak goes down to the mouth. So it's an upside down triangle that goes between the eyes and then the mouth, and then it ends at the tip of the mouth, at the chin. And this one is more of the romantic, a little bit of more romantic, but it's still very subtle eye contact. So in that area, you are showing the person that, you know, you like them. So you can look into this area. You can caress with your eyes. You can caress their lips. And this is where the bedroom eyes part come in. When you're trying to connect with the bedroom eyes, this is the area where you look at. You look at the eyes, the lips, the mouth, the nose, their cheekbones, things like that. And so that will like make your pupils expand. So that's the other triangle. And then there's the other triangle, and this triangle is the tip. So you make a line between the eyes, and you go all the way down to the chest. So the triangle is another upside down triangle, but this triangle meets the chest. So this is the area where you're doing a more of a sexy, like a more of a sexual, sexy area. And in this sexy area, when you're looking at a person, you can voyage down to those areas of the body. Just be careful, make sure that you have consent, and make sure that you're reading the body language properly, because if you're not, this can be very disrespectful. So whenever you practice with someone, I suggest you practice with someone that you know, that you have trust with, that you trust, they trust you, and you have consent. And you explain this to them. Hey, you know, I'm going to practice my triangles. I'm going to practice my professional triangle. I'm going to practice my romantic triangle. I'm going to practice my upside down sexy triangle, so that they know what's coming and they can tell you, how does it feel? What do you think? So this is a really fun way to play with a person, but practice. I mean, you could try this on your partners. Like if you already have a partner or you have partners, you can practice on them. You can ask like, hey, how does this feel? And this can really kind of re-spark a lot of that initial loving relationship spark. So that's another fun one you could do as well. So we're going to go through technique number 6, a visual voyage. As you and your quarry are chatting, let your eyes do some traveling, but only on a safe terrain at first. Take a visual voyage all over his or her face, concentrating mostly on the eyes. If he or she seems to be enjoying your expedition, make a small trip to the neck and the shoulders and the torso. So these 4 eye techniques, intense eye gaze, bedroom eyes, sticky eyes, and visual voyage, are scientifically proven aphrodisiacs. So when you start using them on your quarry, you'll feel the effects. That's what she says in the book. Again, practice, have fun, because they can be very fun. Even if you're not doing it with a person that a new person, try it on your existing partner. I bet you guys will really have a lot of fun doing this. Now we're going to go to the next part of the book, and it talks about body language. With body language, this is the first language we ever learned. This was before we learned words as when we were kids. With body language, it's important to understand it. And some really great advice that I listened to that came from Alan Pease was, watch television for about 15 minutes a day on mute. You will see the beautiful body language that comes alive when you watch television on mute. There are a lot of other authors that also talk about body language. Like I said, Joe Navarro, Alan Pease. Those are two body language experts that I really enjoy reading and watching videos from. So with this part of the book, this is a really interesting part. And it's one of my favorites because I love body language. I love learning about body language. I love reading body language. It's so much fun. You can tell when someone's lying to you. You can tell when people say, I just don't believe them. Like something's telling me, my gut is telling me this, right? It's because you're reading their body language subconsciously. And so their words don't match their body. And it's very hard to lie with the body. You have to train yourself. If you're like a professional liar, you have to train yourself to lie with your body because you'll always give away signals when you're lying. So that's why sometimes people say like, I don't trust their word, even though they're saying it to me. I don't trust them because they probably did something subtle. They probably gave away micro expressions that told you, yeah, I'm lying to you. Just don't watch my body language. So the dance of intimacy is a really interesting part of the book. She says, Dr. Timothy Pepper, who spent more than 2,000 grueling hours perched on stools of singles bars, scrutinizing the people and their early courting moves. Dr. Pepper's findings reveal that when both parties stuck to a precise sequence of moves, the couples wound up leaving together or making a date. Here is where I love to talk about scorpions. Hear me out. There's this documentary I watched where it talks about scorpions and the scorpion mating dance. And it talks about how scorpion mating dance is very similar to a human's mating dance because we also have dances just like birds do, just like any other animal does. So for us, our mating dance looks like this. So this is called the dance of intimacy. Step one, nonverbal signal after the two partners are within speaking range, one or the other makes his or her presence known by a smile, a nod, or a glance. So that's the first step, is giving a nonverbal signal like, hey, I want to talk to you. Come over here. Or come over here and talk to me. Or I'm going to go talk to you right now. That's the first part of this mating dance. Step two, talk one of the two, then speak. Okay. Perhaps he or she makes a comment or asks a question. Even a simple hi will do, but something verbal takes place. So in step two, you're talking. So that's when one of you says something. Says hello or hey, what's up? Something like that. Step three, turning now. It gets interesting. When one partner throws out the verbal signal, so you have the nonverbal signal and you have the verbal signal, the recipient must turn at least the head fully towards the speaker and acknowledge the comment receptively. If he or she does not, the other person seldom tries again. So let's say you're at a bar and a person is like on the side of there of you and they come behind you and they're like, hi, and you don't turn at least towards this person, you don't shift your body towards them in some way, even if it's not all of your body, if it's like your shoulders and your head, then the other person's going to be like, oh, this person is not interested. So these are like the subtle body language cues that people give each other. Finally, in successful meetings, the whole body winds up facing each other. This head-to-head, belly-to-belly, knee-to-knee gradual sequence can take from minutes to hours. With each increasing turn, intimacy increases. So let's say at first you move your head only. let's say they're sitting next to you and you move your head only. And then there's like in a bar sitting side by side of you. And then they move your head only. So what you want to do is, let's say you're the person who wants the other person a little bit more. You can shift your shoulders to show them like, hey, I like you. And then they will shift and then you'll wait. And then you shift your hips towards them. And then they'll shift their hips. And then you move your knees towards them. And so then you start facing each other. That's when like you start facing each other. And that's how you know two people like each other, is when their whole bodies are turned and just facing each other. But initially you might start off side to side, or the person's behind you. So this is a subtle human dance, you know, dating, dancing ritual, especially when you're not on a date and you're just at a singles bar. Step 5, synchronization. This is my favorite part. The final step is the most fascinating to watch, as it'll confirm their newfound affection for each other. The couple begins to move in a synchronicity with each other. So in this part, it's when, so let's say, for example, you grab a drink and you take a sip of your drink, and then you see the other person do the same. That's synchronization. Let's say you touch your hair, the other person touches their hair. You touch your nose, the other person touches their nose. That's how you know someone likes you. And you can also tell who's leading the conversation to is by who does it first. So let's say I want to see if this person's, you know, connecting with me. I'll grab my drink and I'll drink. And if the person does the same right after me, that means I'm leading this dance. If the person doesn't do that, then it means like we're not synchronized yet. So then a tip that I learned is watch them. Let's say they touch their nose and then you touch your nose, and then they touch their drink, you touch your drink. So then that you start kind of synchronizing with them. And then once their synchronization happens, then you go ahead and lead with the drink, and then they might do the same. So it's a really fun dance of body language that you can learn from this process. And it's really fun. Again, make sure, I enjoy doing this with people who I have a consensual relationship with. It's important. So I tell them the rules, and then they, you know, and then I say, okay, these are the rules. This is what's going to happen. Help them point it out to them so they understand. Some people also, that's what I like to do, because I love asking for consent and I like playing within a consensual space. But sometimes people, in order to connect with other people, they can use these techniques to connect and bond with the person. But again, I like asking for consent. Ask for consent through this process. I think it's more fun that way, just especially because you're going to teach someone about their body language. I think that's really, really fun. And I love teaching, as you can probably tell already. So that is the end of this part of the How to Make Anyone Fall in Love with You podcast. But if you guys like this episode, I don't know, give it a like. I don't know what the... Subscribe. Please subscribe and leave a comment. I'm just kidding. Yeah, if you like it, just DM me on Instagram or Twitter and tell me you liked it so that I can make another one, because I can go through so much more of this book and it's really, really fun. So if you have a soothing voice and you want to be on my podcast, you can DM me at soothingvoiceyg. Again, soothingvoiceyg. And that's Instagram and Twitter. Thank you so much for listening. This episode was produced and engineered by Kendram.